Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
What we have been talking about is our heart, and your heart is what you center your life around. See, when the Bible talks about your heart, it's talking about what you're focused on and what you center your life around. And He says we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all your mind, your soul, and strength, all of it. And in Proverbs 4, it says, out of your heart springs the issues of your life. So the issues of your life come from what you center your heart around. So if you don't like what's coming out of your life now, it's what you've been centering your life around. Are we making sense? We can go home now. Amen? No. But really, that's how it is. What you've been centering your life around, that's the issues. The issues you face now have come from what you've been centering your life around. And God says, I want you to center your life around me. All of it. He wants all of your heart. Not just a little piece. All of it. Love Him with all your heart. And so, but you know why? Because our hearts are desperately wicked. It says in Jeremiah 17:9, our heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, I search the heart, I test the mind. God is always testing your heart. Always. When you wake up in the morning, you have three enemies. The devil, your flesh, and the world. And they are against you, and they don't want you to succeed in doing God's will. It says in 1 John, it says, chapter 2, verse 16, do not love the world or the things in the world. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world is passing away. But he who does the will of God will abide forever. And see, that's what we're called to be and do is, as the church, is to do His will. You see that? And remember, you always hear me say, God is building His church that the gates of hell will not prevail against. And that's what He's doing. Matthew 16, He said, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So who's the church? We are the people. It's not this building. It's the people. He's building people. That hell can't take down. You catching that? God says, the main thing I want is you to center your life around me. And I'm going to build my main thing, and that's the church. If you're going to be a part of the main thing here on earth, you need to be in the church. See that? All your development takes place in the church. Listen to me real good. If you haven't been hurt and wounded in church yet, you're not even qualified to do God's will. You don't even qualify. If you haven't been hurt by somebody, and somebody said the raunchiest thing to you or whatever in church, you're not even qualified. You got to get hurt and go through some things and let some development take place. Now God says, I can use that. You see this? And so here's what happens. People get hurt and they run from the church. And then they blame it. That's all the people. It's you. You were the one acting up because you didn't respond the way God created you to. He says, I want you to love your enemies. I want you to bless those who persecute you and despitefully use you. I want you to overcome all evil with good. Well, you don't know what they did to me or said to me. That's not fair. Nowhere in the Bible do you find the word fair. It's not in there. There's nothing fair about being a Christian. Nothing. He says, I want you to bless your enemies. That is so opposite. I want you to pray for those who persecute you and despitefully use you. That's not being fair. We as believers are to give back better than what's been given to us. Are you hearing this? We're to give them better than what's been given to us. And you know what that does? That frees you. You don't take that unforgiveness, because you know what unforgiveness does? It stops the blessings of God from getting into your life. And see, that's what the devil does. He wants you to get offended in church and hurt, so you have unforgiveness, so God's blessings can't get to you. But when you know this secret and this understanding, I forgive them, I bless them. You stay free, and the blessings keep coming and flowing into your life. Oh, are you hearing that? That's what we have to understand. People that use the excuse, well, those people in church hurt me, they're running from their own personal development. God will develop you in the church with people. Relationships are hard. Anybody ever discover that? It's hard to have relationships. When there were only two people, Cain and Abel, they couldn't even get along. One killed the other. It's difficult to be in relationships. You're supposed to love all these people the way you love God. He says in 1 John, how can you say you love God whom you can't see and you don't love your brother whom you do see? We have to learn to grow in the love of God. And that's what the development is in the church. And marriages, you get two people that love God and it's working, you got paradise on earth. They're in a bless me contest. You hear me? It's like, ain't nothing going to get in there and make them mad and upset. They're just there to bless you. They're there to outdo you with blessings when you understand God's will and His ways for marriage. Marriage is one of the best things God has ever created. But I'm going to tell you, it can be the most difficult thing God ever created when you're trying to do it in your own strength. But you get God in the center of it, it's one of the healthiest things you can be a part of. You can't wait to get home. You can't wait till she comes home or he comes home. Because, man, you got something going on. Because they got your back. You got somebody close to you that looks out for you, cares for you. I got 22 stitches in my head. You see that? Got a black eye there. See that? I was on the table. Actually, I was telling him a joke. I was telling the surgeon a joke while I was on the table getting this little skin piece cut off. It was precancerous, and they said I had to remove it. So I was telling him a joke about the cows. Well, he kept on cutting, and then he ended up cutting, not because of the joke. He cut a blood vessel, and that's why my eyes all purple and black. Donita didn't hit me. That's from the surgeon. But why am I telling you? You know what? Donita planned ahead of time, took off work. Donita doesn't take off work for anything. She made sure she took off work, got up, got her ready and helped get me ready, and made sure she was with me to go get this taken care of. I could feel that. I could feel, man, this is nice. You got somebody who's there for you. You know what I'm saying? And going out while I'm in there and getting me something when I come, so I have something when I come out, and just loving me and just there for you. It's like, I like this. That's the way it's supposed to be. Am I making sense? I haven't even started preaching. We got to pray. We got to do all kinds of things yet. Is this making sense? I'm trying to help you see this. When you do it God's way, it changes everything. It's real. But you try to do it your own way, it's not going to make it. Are you glad you're in church today? I got some really good stuff. So we got something. We're going to pray. And let's go ahead and look at our vision real quick. This is our vision. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing his kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the hearts. He's always testing your heart. From the time you wake up in the morning to when you go to bed at night. When you start passing those exams, you're starting to grow and mature in the things of God. And your whole world changes. And it's a powerful thing. When you begin to understand this, we won't be able to keep you out of church. Because you're becoming the church. See, we're not talking about going to church. See, going to church can be religious. You can be a churchgoer, or you can be a follower of Jesus. We're raising up followers of Jesus. Amen? Disciples of Christ. Father, we thank you for everyone here today. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for those baptisms. Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing in our hearts. We thank you for what you're doing in this community. We thank you for the testimonies this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. Now, Lord, speak to our hearts, and may we never be the same. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. All right. So, he's always testing our hearts. So, we're going to look at this idea of our heart and what we're centering our life around. But now, think about this. Basically, we overcome evil. Anybody seen any evil in the world? You overcome evil. You overcome evil, all the evil that's on the earth, by growing in God's counter power. You have to grow in how God counters the evil. He counters the evil with his presence, with his grace. You see this? When I grow and I begin to understand my relationship with God, now, look, we overcome fear by walking in faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't look at all the negative in the world and echo all those problems. We're starting to echo the solutions that God has given us for our problems. God has answers for everything you're going through, for all of us. So we overcome fear by walking in faith. We overcome hatred and anger by growing and maturing in the love of God. You see that? We overcome rebellion and lawlessness by growing in obedience and devotion to the Lordship of Christ. We overcome rebellion and lawlessness by growing in obedience and devotion to the Lordship of Christ. So, in this way, we will be able to discern evil from good. You see that? Remember, Romans 12:21, overcome all evil with good. What's evil? Evil is the dysfunction and all the... The word evil encompasses everything under the fall. So when somebody does you wrong and mistreats you for no reason, that comes from the fall. So you just do what God says. Treat them good. And that protects you. What they do with it is up to them. But while you're doing it, it's protecting you. See that? Did you catch that? In Titus chapter 2, it says this, the grace of God that brings salvation has been given to us to teach us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously in this present evil age. The grace of God that brings salvation has been given to teach us. When we give grace to people who mistreat us, it teaches us and it saves us. Did you get that? It saves you. It saves your soul. It brings salvation to you. But when you act ungodly and you do what they did to you, there's no salvation in that. And it actually has the potential to get you in a place where you can't receive from God. Now, we discern evil that is growing in the world and overcome it. We overcome it by growing in God's grace and His will. That's how we overcome it. Go with me to Matthew 29 and 30. But He said, Jesus, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Anybody know what tares are? Looks like wheat. Weeds. Weeds? That's a good... It's not weeds, but it has the appearance of wheat. But it's not wheat. It looks like wheat. Now, why is that important? Because what he's saying here is you have wheat and tare growing together. If you go on and read in this chapter, read it later. I'm not going to go into it. It says the devil planted the tares on earth, and the earth is the field. Tares look like wheat. So you got tares coming up in the church that look like wheat. Wheat are the people that God planted, the believers. So you got people going to church that look like sheep, smell like sheep, talk like sheep, walk like sheep, but they're wolves. Am I making sense? And they're right in the group. It's all mixed in. The wheat are the believers, the true believers. You hearing this? So now think about this. Let's look at the next verse. Let both grow together. You can actually, this word grow means mature and grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first, gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. There's a separation going on right now. If you watch the news and you see all that's going on, there's a separation. Paul said in Romans 1:1, he said, you don't have to put that up. He said, I'm separated to the gospel. I'm separated to the gospel. In other words, the gospel is the main thing in Paul's life. That's what needs to be the main thing in your life. Good news. Look at all the bad news. We should be separated to good news. The word separated is the word apharizino, the Greek word. So I'm not going to try to say it, so don't even you try to say it. But it comes from the word horizon. Horizon. So when you're separated, it's like the horizon line. You ever look out onto the horizon and dream and look out. Have you ever seen that? That's what happens. When you're separated unto the gospel, you're going to have horizons in your life that you've ever dreamed about. Greater things are going to happen to you. All that God has created you for is going to come to fruition in your life. And you are going to see things that you never even dreamed about for the good in your life. Am I making sense? When you separate unto the gospel. That's what that word separated means. It also means as the cream rises to the top. When they make milk and cream, they stir it. It becomes cream. I like whipped cream, don't you? We get it at home and I always... Donnie is, did you put your mouth on that? But I love cream, whipped cream. I absolutely love it. It's low calorie too. But it's the best stuff. That's what it's saying. The best comes when you separate yourself. You're the sweetest. You see that? You become the best when you're separated. Listen to me. Jesus said in John 16:33, he said, "In me you will have peace. In this world you will have tribulation." But he said, "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Be of good cheer. Be happy. Why? Because he's overcome the world. You can overcome in the world and have peace. He says, in me you're going to have peace. But in this world, you're going to have tribulation. What's the word tribulation? Trouble. Difficulty. Struggles. You're going to have trouble, difficulties, and struggles in this world system. He says, but be of good cheer. I've overcome all that. You can overcome it too. Now look at this. This word tribulation, don't you like words? This word tribulation comes from a farming instrument called a tribulum. Thousands of years ago, they made them out of wood, out of oak, and out of the wood that was available. And they would separate, they would make these sharp pieces of wood, and they called it a tribulum. They would scrape it across the wheat and separate the wheat from the tares. Ooh. Are you getting this? It's the trouble you have is the best thing for you. It's helping you produce fruit in your life. You catching this? This is huge. When you understand this, you're not walking around miserable because of what you're seeing on TV and echoing all the negative problems in the world. You got a relationship with God and he's showing you answers. He's giving you cheer, peace in the midst of it. We making sense? This world, there's a coin shortage in this world. We're making a lot of sense up in here. I thought that was pretty good. If we are not taking our place in what God is doing in the church, we will never fulfill His will. You'll never truly come to your true identity, who He created you to be. It only happens in the church. The church is the instrument that God uses to advance His kingdom here on earth. Church. People of God. See that? You're the church. That's why Paul said, "To me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace has been given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery." What's the mystery? The church. What is the fellowship of the mystery? "To the intent that now the manifold wisdoms of God will be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places." The principalities and powers are the devil and all his cohorts. You're the church. You're going to let the church know. You're going to let those spiritual forces know God's in charge right here. Are you listening to me? All right. When we understand what the Lord is doing, you're going to want to be a part of it. When you understand what the Lord is doing in the church, you're just going to be elated. You're going to be full of joy. Listen to me. You can't, it's true, you can be joined to the body. You can be in the body, but not be connected to the head. Who's the head? Jesus is the head of the body, right? Not the preacher. Jesus is the head of the body. You can be joined, you can come and participate, and not really have any joy and real power in your life. Did you catch that? Because you're not willing to submit to the head. But now look, you can't be submitted to the head and not be joined to the body. Did you catch that? You cannot be submitted to the head and not be connected to the body of Christ. That's why you have these people say, I can go to church out in the woods. Oh, we got a group we meet over here at my house. Shoot. You got your own thing going. It's empty. You're trying to avoid being hurt again. You're trying to avoid development that the body of Christ brings through difficulties and struggles and adversity. When you avoid that, you can't become what God created you to be. And you can't fulfill His will. You got to get in there and face some things in your own life. And get in there and get in the fight. There's a fight going on. A spiritual fight. That's why he says in Ephesians 6, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and the powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Now, there's a fight going on. Well, you say, I'm tired of all this. This word wrestle comes from Grecian wrestling. I know I've said this before. It comes from a Grecian-Greek wrestling match. And in that Grecian wrestling match, the object of your opponent was to gouge your eyes out. So you would be blind physically and remain in poverty. That's what happens. The enemy, when you give up the fight, he's going to pin your backside. You say, I don't want to be a part of a church. He's going to pin your backside and he's going to blind you spiritually. And you're going to remain in spiritual poverty. And you're never going to know the will of God in your life. You get off into something that brings nothing but negative in your life. Wrestling match is the closest match you can be in. I mean, this is a close match. When you're wrestling, you ever see them? They're together the whole time. That's the fight you got to get in. You got to get in there and fight.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.